the author of the Activist Handbook.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to help sponsor the 8th Annual Northwest Indian Storytelling Festival to take place Friday and Saturday, October 18th and 19th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 20th at 1 p.m. The Friday evening event will take place at PCC Cascade, 705 North Killingsworth Street in Portland, and the Saturday and Sunday events will take place at the Native American Youth and Family Center, 5135 Northeast Columbia Boulevard in Portland. This year's festival features some of the Northwest's most gifted tribal tellers, tribal drumming and singing, an opening prayer, and a silent auction. This event is a benefit for the Northwest Indian Storytellers Association. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Global warming, it's real, it's dangerous, and it can be stopped. Next Monday on KBOO Radio, The Old Mole hosts a two-hour special starting at 8 in the morning right after Democracy Now! On the great promise of clean sun and wind energy to completely replace dirty fossil fuels. We have the technologies, the resources, too, and our popular movements, now embryonic to be sure, could sufficiently strengthen to overcome entrenched interests to transform this country. Next Monday at 8 a.m., an Old Mole Climate Change special report.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. It is my pleasure to bring to you today Randy Shaw, who's the author of the Activist Handbook, a second edition. He's updated it recently. Welcome to the program, Randy.
Well, thanks for having me, Joanne.
It is such a pleasure to have you here. I want to talk a little bit about your day job. I understand that you are the director of the Tenderloin Housing Clinic?
Yes. I mean, our organization, we started as a law office representing tenants in the Tenderloin neighborhood of San Francisco, and now we ended up expanding. So we're the largest housing provider for homeless single adults in San Francisco. We actually run 16 residential hotels, SROs, which I think you still have in Portland.
Yes, we do.
We were actually the most successful city in the country in preserving our SROs, so we had more supply for low-income people to live.
Wow, that's pretty fabulous. That's why I wanted to start there, because as I was checking out your website, so you provide housing, legal support, and other supportive services.
Right, we do a lot of organizing both locally and at the state level around tenant issues and housing issues and issues affecting low-income tenants and people, whether it be phone issues, anything affecting low-income people we get involved in.
Wonderful. Well, then that means you come by your book honestly, huh?
Well, you know, it turned out, and I start the first chapter of the Activist Handbook with a situation that happened in the Tenderloin neighborhood that was a remarkable accomplishment that where the very, very low-income people community took on three luxury hotels and won a historic battle, and so it sort of became the my own personal influence that sort of shaped my whole life, actually, that experience in 1980 and how that became a paradigm of future activist struggles.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you're not an activist, you think, well, these are people that are really unorganizable, right? These are people that, you know, they're not gonna put in the work to make the policy changes happen. But you have real life experiences that show that that's simply not true.
Right. Well, I think the great thing is whenever people like people in the Tenderloin or Latino janitors, whenever they win, like with Justice for Janitors, whenever they win a fight, people say, oh, well, those people like to be, or they're easy to organize. But of course, before they were organized, they couldn't be organized, right?
Exactly.
They were said they could, unorganizable.
Right, right. That's right. That's absolutely true. And so let's jump into, and I want to apologize now because we're going to be doing some interruptions. We are in pledge drive, so we're going to be inviting people in about 5 minutes and throughout the program to become members. But let's just jump right in. So this is updated because now we have Occupy as on the cover of your latest book. Was Occupy big in your area?
Well, it was. I mean, I think Occupy Oakland got a lot of press compared to New York, or maybe most of the second, because of all the events and the violence that occurred there from the police originally. You know, it's interesting, when I wrote the first book, the internet wasn't really available, and so, you know, a book, so when you miss social media, and also I think that, you know, my first book talked a lot about the Clinton years, but now we have the Obama's first term, and through the present, for activists to evaluate how to deal with Obama, as they dealt in the previous book with Clinton. So I think it was really important to show whether activists have learned from their experience or whether they have not, and I give examples of both.
Right, and so what do you think? Have we learned anything since the Clinton years about organizing?
I would say this, you know, I set forth this model for relationships with politicians called fear and loathing, which basically means that, you know, politicians, the vast majority of politicians, there's obviously exceptions, only end up doing things for progressive interests if they are afraid of retaliation, and they end up disliking constituencies that hold them accountable. And I describe in the book the great success that the gay community had on both DOMA and on Don't Ask, Don't Tell by pushing Obama when he made promises he wasn't about to keep. And environmentalists learned a lot from mistakes in catering to Clinton, and they tried to hold Obama's feet to the fire. But as we all know, in 2009, the immigrant rights movement kind of trusted Obama to come through and gave him way too much latitude, and ended up nothing happened. And so I sort of give both examples, and the constituencies that do hold politicians' feet to the fire are the ones that routinely, both locally, at the state level, and nationally, those are the constituencies that prevail.
You raise an excellent point, because what we've seen this over and over again, right? We elect a Democrat, somehow we think we've won, so we can just go back home and relax, and those 4 years are taken care of.
And it's the biggest mistake we make, because, I mean, we had an opportunity in 2009, potentially, to get immigration reform, or Labor, which put $200 million into the 2012 elections and can't even get a vote on the Employee Free Choice Act. Labor got no labor law reform, but they spent $200 million in the November 12th. Why spend $200 million if you're not going to hold people accountable? So the whole theme, one of the main themes of the Activist Handbook is how to hold politicians accountable.
And that seems to be really challenging for people at this point. I mean, and why do you think that is? Is it because people are so just tense and frustrated? Because
I think it's 2 points that I mentioned in the book. One is at the local level, you often have a personal relationship, and it's fun to be at a meeting where the mayor acknowledges you and call you out, and you don't want to lose that. I mean, you don't want to lose that access. And I talk about how Andy Stern, who was head of SEIU at the time, he liked being invited to the White House.
Right.
And maybe he wouldn't have been invited if he held Obama's feet to the fire and publicly criticized him. So the other problem is people say, well, all you're doing is empowering Republicans. Because, you know, I heard all that, Randy, don't you realize if you criticize Obama, you're just empowering Republicans?
Right.
And so there's that argument, too, and that's really a failed argument.
Oh, I've heard that before. I get told that all the time. I'm not polite enough to elected leaders. We are just about to head into our first pitch break. We're going to be back to you in just 3 minutes. And so hang on, Randy. I'm going to bring in my partner, and we're going to encourage people to call 877-500-5266 to become a member of KBOO. We are in the middle of our pledge drive. We are doing great, but we cannot do it without you. And so give us a call at 877-500-5266. I have 5 copies of Randy Shaw's book as a premium thank you, and they are available for a minimum pledge of $60. And you could have one. I got to tell you, I have loved this book, and I've taken lots of notes in the margins, and this is a book that I'm going to be using as I move forward. So if you'd like your own copy, the number to call is 877-500-5266. How are we doing out in Pledge Central?
We are doing great. You know, we have raised just about $50,000.
Yay.
Good morning. Well, good morning, Joanne, and good morning to you, dear listener. My name is Sam. I'm here with my good buddy, Linda Olson-Osterlin, and we are here to remind you that this is your opportunity to kind of release that niggling feeling that, oh, I really should be doing my part. Here's your chance. 877 800-500-5266. I know, especially in the morning, sometimes I am not really in a position to hold polite conference with other human beings. I could use the internet. KBOO has a website, kboo.fm. We are able to offer all of these services, not just the news and the analysis and the left-leaning opinion, because, yes, this is left. KBOO is left. KBOO is the source for left voices and opinion and analysis in the Portland metro. Yes.
Unapologetically.
Yes.
Unapologetically. I like that.
We will not apologize for being left. We will not apologize for asking you to do what you will not apologize for doing, which is to fund KBOO. 877-500-5266.
Let me take a moment to thank Catherine
thank
from
you.
Southeast Portland. Thank you, Catherine, who is a returning member.
Yay.
We want, you know, we love our returning members. You guys make the difference year after year. We also really want to welcome brand new members. If you haven't become a member of KBOO, it's just so much. It's great. You'll, one, know that KBOO belongs to you. You'll, two, get benefits all over the city and small businesses when you show that KBOO card. And, three, you'll get rid of that feeling that, oh, God, I haven't donated yet. Oh, I haven't. I wonder, do they really need my money? Yes, we really need your money. 80% of our dollars comes from individuals like you giving the perfect amount for them, whatever that is. Please call us right now. We want to hear all the phones behind us ring. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. That's good anywhere in the United States.
What I want you to make that call, as Linda was saying, and then listen very carefully to your radio, to KBOO, and see if it doesn't sound a little better. See if you don't feel a little better listening, knowing that you have done your part, that you called 877-500-5266, that you completed the circle. You have been consuming KBOO's information, and now it is time to put a little back in. 877-500-5266.
Thank you so much. We're going to come back and check in with you later, but we're going to get back into our dialogue with Randy Shaw. Randy Shaw is the author of The Activist Handbook. It is the second edition. He's updated it for the times that we are in now. One of the things that I loved about your book, Randy, was chapter 3, you talked a lot about coalitions. And you had a quote that I'm going to use that says, people who want to talk, coalitions are basically people who want to talk about the problem rather than fix it.
Well, it is a problem, and you know, I think that's still something that the left does not do as effectively. And I could write a whole book just on that.
And
you look at the example of how the immigrant rights movement dramatically expanded when they got labor and the church involved heavily, and we see examples everywhere of they describe in the book of successful coalitions of not always using the usual suspects. You know, mm-hmm. Say the people united will never be defeated. Well, if we lose, does that mean we weren't united, or is it that the groups you're uniting with are not a majority?
Right.
So you have to look for the unusual and diverse suspects, and you know, look like when environmentalists look for people into hunting and fishing who may not be the kind of people environmentalists normally work with, but they also care about preserving habitat. And I think there's a number of examples, and I give examples in New York about, you know, with an incinerator fight where two groups who were at war with each other came together for that. But we need to do a better job of not simply feeling that I can't work with that person because we disagree on 10%, even 80% of things. How about the 20% we agree on? Let's achieve that.
Well, that is an interesting strategy for building coalitions, because you're right. Because normally what you find in coalitions is a lot of people that are involved in lots of other coalitions.
Right. It's the same you bring up the usual list of suspects.
Right.
You know, Joanne, I should also mention, because you're doing the fund drive, is and I talk in the book, why institutions like KBOO are so important. Because there's a myth that people still believe that, it, you know, unless you get something in the New York Times or unless you get something on the national news or something, it doesn't travel. But what the internet has done, stories that appear on KBOO can then spread everywhere.
Yes.
And so having a vehicle that gets stuff out, like stories out there that do not appear elsewhere, like KBOO, can have far greater significance than it did before the internet. And so supporting cable as that outlet for these kind of stories that don't otherwise appear can have national impacts, which was not true 15 years ago. So it's even more important that people support it now. Just want to throw that in.
I appreciate you throwing that in, because we have people that live stream cable all over the country. And so you're absolutely right about how accessible information now is to people. And in fact, we'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute. We have a caller on the line. Hello, Mitch. Welcome to K-Boot.
Hey, thanks. I'm really glad you have Randy Shaw on, and I wanted to ask a question following up on a very good point that both of you made about people who help get Democratic presidents elected and then go home after the election without holding their feet to the fire. It raises the question that I have been trying to get answered for about 10 years now, which is twofold, but they both have to do with organized labor, since it's primarily the Democrats that manage to sell labor out more than the Republicans, because the Republicans realize there's only so far they can go. In fact, Nixon needed to coddle labor, whereas Clinton signed NAFTA. Clinton and even Robert Reich, who's running around the country now and teaching at Berkeley and acting like a progressive, right. offered no resistance to the selling out of labor, not only through NAFTA, but we never talk about the neoliberal economic model behind it. My question for Randy, why hasn't labor organized a political party? And now that newspapers are at record low valuations, why is it labor with big buildings that Barbara Ehrenreich always talks about, big labor owns a lot of real estate? Why don't they ever convert that real estate and buy a goddamn newspaper?
Watch that.
Well, I'll say one thing. In California, labor had an amazing year. We got to raise the minimum wage. California Labor Federation did incredible, and they've taken a far more aggressive. They saw that their previous approach had failed, and they had to be more aggressive. The problem we have at the national level, Mitch, and again, I mentioned, this is just a fact. Mm-hmm. Andy Stern liked going to the White House. Mm-hmm. Richard Trumka wants to be on the president's good side. Mm-hmm. You know, the AFL-CIO has a convention every 4 years. And Obama he came in 2009, I saw him in Pittsburgh. He appeared in 2013 by video.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, now he doesn't even feel he has to show up. But the fact that they were marketing, the AFL-CIO was marketing Obama that he was coming, it's like they want that connection. And it is really crazy the way on so many issues, even on part of the health care reform, which labor is very unhappy with, it all gets kind of pushed aside. And it's because the leadership, so much of the leadership, likes the access to the White House. And that may strike some as simplistic, but I think it's true.
How does the rank and file never come to push for their own political party and their own media outlet?
So we're going to I'm going to give you an opportunity to answer that right after we come from our next. So don't lose the question. Thank you so much, caller.
Thank you.
Have a fabulous day. It is that time again for us to come back and encourage you to become a member. Join us. Become part of your community radio station. I realize that I have been on the air here for over 17 years. Oh, wow. It is amazing how quickly time goes when you're having fun. But I am part of the K-Boo family.
Were you just a little kid?
I was. I was like 3 when I started.
You're so beautiful and young looking.
Oh, flattery will get you everywhere.
She is beautiful.
The number is 877-500-5266.
That's right. That is the number to call. And we need you to do it right now. You know, for Joanne's show, because she has been on the air this long and she's got one of the most popular shows on KBOO. And I really want to thank you for bringing us Randy Shaw. And I want to thank you, Randy, for getting in there and talking about how important KBOO is. But we have a giant goal and we're not making it quite yet because you guys haven't picked up the phone. It's as simple as that. We need you to pick up the phone right now at 877-500-5266. You know, Randy was just on the line talking about how important KBOO is, and I have not had one national guest on in the seven years that I've been doing it who doesn't say that and say it with strong meaning, especially as there's been the ongoing consolidation of media. Mm-hmm. We are literally a beacon, a jewel in the nation of stations that can provide the kind of programming that we do. They've been taken over, run out of dollars, changed or homogenized, or bit the dust in the economic downturn. That's not happening to KBOO, and it's not happening because of you. And we need you to step up and show us that one more time. Many of you have stood beside KBOO over and over again. Some of you, this will be the first time. We do really need you. 877-500-5266. That's the number, whether you're out at the coast or down in Salem or in Vancouver or right here in inner southeast Portland.
Or in Nevada or Maine or Wisconsin or Texas or anywhere you are starved for real real live radio, but made by real live people. KBOO.FM is where those folks are listening. And you, dear listener, in Texas, in Wisconsin, in Maine, in North Carolina, you're already there. Go to the homepage and click on that little cartoon jar. It says donate today. It doesn't say donate sometime soon. It doesn't say donate when you get around to it. It says donate today, because that's the time. That's when we need to hear from you. And that is when you are listening. You are listening right now. And right now is the time for you to put into the pot. Feed the kitty. Make sure it's still here when you tune in next.
Well, let's because tell them how easy it's it is
not
too.
It won't necessarily be there unless you step up to the plate. 877-500-5266. You just tap those little numbered icons on the screen of your telephonic device. You press the little buttons on your old-fashioned telephone. If you're really old-fashioned, you turn the little circle, the correct number of degrees.
I don't think anyone has that anymore. But we do want people to know the number is 877-500-5266.
Say it.
And basically, what you're doing is investing in your community radio station.
Look, we could have 10 of them call in with just $5 a month electronic funds transfer.
And they get the
book. It's a really easy way to do it. And you know, really, my soy lattes cost me $5 in local coffee shops, and I do buy them. And I'm suggesting that there are you out there who maybe you don't buy a $5 latte, but you buy a $3 latte. Think, just $5 a month will get you the Activist Handbook, Winning Social Change in the 21st Century by Randy Shaw, who you've been listening to, and will get that, boy, I really ought to support them feeling satisfied for inside you. It's 877-500-5266. No, you, the individual listening to my voice right now, are the one who does make the difference, and that we do actually need you. You know, the drive has been going really well, but we're right in the middle of it. We're only halfway towards our goal, and we need to keep that momentum going. You're the one who can make the difference. If you need to feel a little bit last minute about things because that kind of adrenaline, oh my God, I've got to hurry and do it, feel that way right now, because we only have a little bit over a half hour to reach a $1,000 goal for this hour.
We can do that.
I know.
Let's see if we can raise $250 in the next couple of minutes, because we can totally do that. You know, I said earlier that we have raised just about $50,000. That is huge. That is amazing. That's your friends and neighbors going to the phone and calling 877-500-5266. And now it's your turn to do your part to raise the other $75,000 we still need to fill that hole in KBOO's yearly budget. $739,000 for the year. Let's break that down a bit into a bit more manageable numbers. $84 per hour. You can do that right now. 877-500-5266. Have your credit card ready. Say, put $84 on this baby. Or ask Mo or Sam how you can set up $7 a month. How you can get your bank to give KBOO on your behalf $7 every month. And at the end of the year, you'll know you paid for an hour of KBOO. How awesome will that feel?
Well, and you'll
do it.
Know
call it. Us up and tell us how awesome it felt.
Yes, exactly.
And at 877, huh? 500-5266.
Yes!
That is the number. And let's say it again, 877-500-5266. You know, that 50,000 came from so many of you. We need that many of you to step up right now.
Collective
become
action.
A new member. Exactly. You, each one of you joining together makes the difference. 877-500-5266. Joanne, let's go back to Randy and hear more of this great interview.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate our alert and extremely energetic volunteers that are here this morning. And so, Randy, do you remember the question?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Mitch, that actually, you know, there are a lot of rank-and-file groups that have websites mm-hmm. and everything. I'm not sure a newspaper in this climate would be the best way. It seems like, and again, in California, there's been a number. The labor does do a very good job on the web. One of the things I talk about in the Activist Handbook is how overall labor still is way behind on new media. It is still mm-hmm. not where
that's
it should
true.
Be. And it's really inexcusable why at this stage so much of labor is not in you know, the people who are running labor, the top leaders, mm-hmm. aren't really connected to in the right way. Now, the AFL-CIO has tons of people tweeting all the time, but it's not necessarily, you know, just pure, it's not necessarily done in the most strategic way. I mean, they're doing a lot of tweeting,
right.
but sometimes it has to be a little more strategic. So labor still has a way to go, and they need to get there because the other side is moving forward. You know, the corporate interests and the big money interests have very sophisticated media strategies.
Well, and speaking of labor, based on, I mean, really, labor membership has dropped dramatically over the last decade. And it doesn't appear that labor has developed new strategies to adapt to this all-out attack that's taken place. And you would think that labor would be in a position of actually encouraging more people to be a part of this effort to maintain. I mean, we wouldn't have had a minimum wage, we wouldn't have a 40-hour work week, et cetera.
They just had their convention where they talked about a whole new direction about allowing people into the union who aren't usually union members, and working with environmental groups, and then working with fast food workers, and all those points are great. And you know, one of the things that someone pointed out is labor in the 80s talked about doing the same thing. I mean, this is not a new idea, but implementing it has to occur. And I mean, a lot of labor's problems have been due to strategic weaknesses, and hopefully that will change. I mean, in California, labor is doing phenomenally well, and that should be a model. That could be a model for the rest of the country.
Oh, we're going to come back to that question. We do have a caller on the line. Hello, Joanne. Welcome to KBOO.
Yeah, hello. I just want to say a couple of things before I leave the earth and stop using its resources. First of all, I'd like to see somebody with money in this country create a lot of radio stations like KBOO in all the different parts of Southeast, West and everything, Middle West, whatever, and North and that. That's what I'd like to see happen, but I guess that's a fantasy on my part. But I want to say one more thing, Joanne. I support your program and Lisa's and Democracy Now!, but I can't become a member now. I got a letter yesterday saying that my food stamps are going to be reduced because they're not going to be getting funding from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you, Joanne. So, Randy, let's go back to, I want to actually start having a conversation about the initiatives, because you talk about five rules for progressive initiatives. I know that California, like Oregon, has a lot of initiatives on the ballot. In Oregon, we don't normally have good ones, progressive
Oregon,
ones.
Oregon, it's been some devastating ones.
Yes.
And what I do in this edition of the book is talk about how to defeat, I give some a number of examples of how to defeat bad initiatives, which often is a problem because, you know, you're outspent.
Yes.
And again, labor and other groups and environmental groups in 2010 defeated a hugely funded Chevron ballot measure with the deceptive titles, and I describe it all in the book, how, you know, if you build the grassroots base and get the messaging right and you have a unified campaign, these bad initiatives, I know you've had a lot of them on property taxes in Oregon,
right,
can be defeated. And And, you know, students are very involved. You know, I should mention this. I'm talking to an Oregon show that I have a section in the book about Osberg, the Oregon, you know, students and public interest research group, and the attacks on Osberg and Eugene try to cut their funding. But like in California, which has also been happening, CalPERG students were leading the fight against this Chevron-backed ballot measure. And it's often students who are leading, who are organizing against these bad ballot measures, which is one of the reasons why corporate interests want them defunded.
Right. You raise a very good point, because I also I tell young people when I'm talking to them that they are normally the ones that are on the front lines of any kind of movements that take place.
Right.
And I think as we get older, we forget to remember that it is youth. It is college students. It's high school kids who
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut
that's
you
okay.
off. That's okay. And this is, I have a chapter in the book on student activism. Mm-hmm. I think there's still more, people still think of student activism as something against the Vietnam War.
Right.
I describe from the anti-sweatshop stuff, which is big in Portland. Actually, that whole Nike campaign, anti-Nike campaign, started in Portland. But you have campaigns against tuition increases. You have the Dreamers. There's more student activism now, probably, as there's been at any time other than when there's a war going on. And yet the media doesn't acknowledge it. And they don't acknowledge it. They don't. It's all isolated things, whereas in the 60s and 70s, they say, well, there's all these students in the streets. But really, there are huge upsurge in student activism, which I describe in the Activist Handbook, and I think that students aren't getting the credit, and they're often leading the way, like we saw with the Dreamers on immigration reform. The Dreamers stood up to Obama, where their elders were sort of unwilling to, and the Dreamers succeeded.
Yes, that is a perfect example. You're absolutely right. And so it's interesting, because I think you're absolutely right that we have to, I think, get more youth involved in actually organizing.
Absolutely.
But I think with youth, it's really about when it touches them, right? When it's
and,
whether it's
you know, you hit it exactly right. You know, there's a person I mentioned in the book who used to be at Osberg called Ben Unger, who's now a state senator in your Congress in Hillsborough.
Right.
And here and you know, so also you get young people involved at the as grassroots in their college, and they stay involved, and then they become the elected representatives. But we have such a tuition crisis in this country, an education funding crisis that hits every 50 states. It's crazy that students come out of college owing $100,000, $200,000. There's a basis for a movement right there.
Yes.
And we've seen a huge effort in California to roll back to stop tuition increases, which succeeded. But more can be done.
Right.
And I think the immigration thing and the gay marriage issue, so many students either were gay or lesbian themselves or had friends.
Right.
And the same thing with immigration. They may not have been themselves undocumented immigrants, but their friends are. And that was the kind of personal connection, which I describe in the book, which makes such a difference, because those two movements have been so successful and really driven a lot by young people.
That you raise such excellent points there. So let's jump into media. And we're going to get into the internet and social media, but how does the media actually, my experience has been that especially local media and newspapers really minimize activism activities that are taking place. So you have a march, they may say, they always underestimate the numbers.
Or don't cover it at all.
Or try to put you in a very narrow box, right?
You're absolutely correct, Joanne. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, there was just, and I talk about in the book about the Keystone Pipeline campaign, which a lot of people are very concerned about stopping the Keystone Pipeline. You know, in September, there was events in 150 cities, huge events in 150 cities protesting the Keystone Pipeline, and it barely got mentioned in the national media.
Yes.
I mean, the New York Times didn't even have it in their news section. I mean, they had a story, you know, deep down, and it was in the business section. And it's like, wait, 150 cities? Isn't that kind of newsworthy?
Right, right. And of course, we know why, because we know the media is only owned by a couple of very large corporations, right?
Well, that's why the internet's been so great for activism, because I think one of the most important messages I have in the Activist Handbook is explain to activists how to get their stories out, that they don't have to rely on the Oregonian covering it.
Right.
They either get it on KBOO, they get it on a website they have, and then they send it around using social media, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera. And you can actually then it becomes so talked about that the mainstream media must cover it. They're driven to cover it because it's out there.
We certainly had that experience here in Oregon with Occupy, because Cable was there on recording every day, interviewing people on site at Occupy, and the regular media really wasn't covering it at all. And then
hit it, yes.
And then all of a sudden they were there. Now they were.
And I discuss in the book how in New York and the famous Occupy Wall Street was completely ignored by the media in its early days. And it wasn't until there was a Brooklyn Bridge walk where the police arrested a whole bunch of folks for doing nothing wrong. I mean, just that it became the arrest propelled. The police in New York kept propelling the media coverage, and then there was media coverage. And Occupy, and I think the Occupy movement is a very good example of this kind of proactive agenda setting that I talk about both in the Tenderloin and in the Occupy movement. They set the agenda. And that is so important in so many activist campaigns, because if you let your opponent define the terms of the debate, they're going to win.
That's absolutely true.
You have to define the terms, and I talk about how to do that. And so many activists find themselves constantly on the defensive. They say, there's all these bad things going on in the world. We're too busy fighting. But then your adversary is always setting the debate.
Right. And we're responding to that rather than actually putting our own message out. Randy, we have another caller.
Okay.
Hello, Lynn. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, thank you. And good luck on the pledge drive. I'm a long-term member.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
And I was calling because of Randy's comments about Osberg.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy, maybe you don't know, and I don't know if Joanne knows, Osberg here in Portland, their phone operation was recognized as a Communications Workers of America shop over 2 years ago, and they still haven't done a contract. They are dragging their feet. They're as far as their support for labor, it's pretty questionable at this level. I got to tell you.
Hmm.
No, wait a minute. I was talking about that. I was focusing on the student chapters.
Well, it's all one organization. It's all the same money. I mean, I'm sure that the student chapters do good, although I got to say, when I was a student, I wasn't crazy about their whole negative checkoff thing. But, they do good stuff. But, if they're using the same name of the same organization, if we're going to talk about activism and labor, let's talk about activism and labor.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. I guess you raise a really good point, right, is that we really don't. We haven't figured out how to effectively engage labor and young people in building this movement that we keep talking about. Right? We keep talking about we're building this movement,
but
I'm not sure who's in the movement, and I'm not sure what the rules are about this movement.
No, you're absolutely right. And for all the talk about labor, all their youth initiatives, look at the age.
Yes.
Go to an AFL-CIO convention, as I did in 2009. And you see overwhelmingly white men over 50.
Yes.
I'm a white man over 50, but I don't think that should be the face of labor movement. I went to Unite Here convention that same year, a few months earlier, and it was a whole different look.
Mm-hmm.
It was a totally different look. And so there are some unions that have done a far better job of diversifying, of bringing in young people, making it a priority. But, unfortunately, in so much of labor, it's like it's like a corporate path, and you don't reach the top, and everyone stays in, and so they don't reward the younger voices. And they tried that in the 90s, and there is some effort to hire young organizers, but they're never in a position of power.
Right, that's right.
And so young people look at who the leadership is, mm-hmm. and they say, well, that's I can't relate to that. And that's one of the things that labor's got to do, is get younger and more diverse and more women.
Yes, and then to make sure that they're moving them up the leadership levels throughout labor. You're absolutely right about that. And we are going to go again.
Well, and good.
Encourage,
good money.
Yes, encourage people to become members to support our efforts here. And we have only a few books left, so you're going to miss out on this wonderfully updated second edition of the Activist Handbook. And it is current. It is now. And you can have it if you call 877-500-5266 and make a minimum pledge of $60. You know what's going to work for you. Maybe $60 is a lot, But you could do it at $5 a month, and it could be electronically taken out of your checking account. Or maybe 60 is not a lot. Maybe 120 would be more in range with what you can do. You know what your situation is. All we know is that we want you to be part of the KBOO family. And you can only do that by becoming a member and by calling 877-500-5266. And if you're not an early morning person, you could just go online to kboo.fm and click the tip jar. Then you won't even have to talk to anybody. Isn't that right? My fabulous, wonderful volunteers who are trying to help us get members.
Well, and you know what? The calls have been coming in. People have been wanting to get Randy's book. In fact, one person who had already pledged wanted to get it. You know, oh my goodness, how can I get this book? and I really agree with them. I really appreciate you, Randy, for bringing us this kind of information. You know, much of our audience is an activist audience. And if That's they're right. not an activist audience all the time, they are often and frequently. And we're all struggling with figuring out how to move forward in this changed, you know, security state that we have. And I really appreciate the work that went into this book and the underlying understanding. I know you do out there, too. You're hearing it on KBOO. You even have an opportunity to get the book for yourself or a gift for someone else. Please call us right now, 877-500-5266. I think our phone answers are just finishing up paperwork on the last calls. They can't wait to get your call. Really, honest to God.
This is your chance to call 877, you got that pen handy, 500-5266. We've heard from your friends and neighbors. We've been at this for about 6 days now, and or this, yeah, 7 days now, and it's now your turn. 877-500-5266. Many folks have told us over and over again throughout the centuries, the only time
is now.
That's right. The only time is now. And who else to do it but you? 877-500-5266. Another of your friends and neighbors has answered the call by making the call. How about you, dear listener? When you decide where to put your spare pennies, nickels, and dimes, and think about this. One penny, one nickel, one dime each day. That adds up to $60 over the course of a year. And that gets you Randy Shaw's new updated 21st century edition of the Activist's Handbook. What a treat. What a treat that we have Randy Shaw on the air. Well, what a treat that we have KBOO to put Randy Shaw on the air. It only exists with your support.
That's right. Please do call us at 877-500-5266. Join your friends and neighbor and keep us moving towards that goal, keeping KBOO on the air. And now we'll go right back to Randy Shaw and Joanne.
Thank you guys so much. It's wonderful hearing those phones ringing off the hook. That means people are paying attention, Randy. That means that they're interested in what we're talking about here today. And I love that because that means that KBOO is around for another day. One thing I wanted to talk about, you have a chapter that talks about lawyers, allies or obstacles to social change. You want to talk about why you included that chapter?
Well, you know, I'm a lawyer, and I've seen so many times where, you know, community groups often need lawyers. And,
yes.
You know, there's often, you know, things like these community benefit
agreements, yes.
which I talk about, which have occurred in the Northwest and in California. And, you know, it's really an untapped, you know, many lawyers they like to control things, and there's a problem with that when lawyers work with community groups and lawyers want to have too much control. So it's very important to establish good relationships, because often community groups need lawyers. If you're trying to stop a development project, you're trying to get, you know, there's often, you know, there's many occasions where using lawyers are unavoidable.
Right.
And, so what I talk about in the chapter is how you can have a positive relationship, because I just came across so many activists who just, like, keep the lawyers away. You know, they're just going to take over. They want to call the shots. Well, because lawyers aren't used to being democratic.
That's right.
In the community benefits agreements, there's so many projects that can really benefit from when someone has a big development, to make sure that community groups and arts and housing and transit get the proper benefits, it often requires a lawyer to merely nail down the details. And if you just rely on the developer's lawyer, that's a mistake.
Right.
And it's really kind of these community benefit agreements are really an untapped area, I think, for activists to think about, because you know, when you have places like Portland or San Francisco or Los Angeles where the economy is doing well or doing better, what are the nonprofits, what are the community groups getting from it?
Right.
And that's the whole concept. You have to nail it down. And I describe when you don't have the right lawyer, this project in New York, this Atlantic Yards, which people know for where the Nets, New Jersey, the Brooklyn Nets now play basketball, and it's big, you know, MTV has their awards there. But that was like a disastrous agreement where the developer said they were going to provide one-third of all of the housing units built as affordable housing as part of the stadium deal. That sounds good, right?
Yeah, sounds good, right?
But nothing required him to ever build any housing.
Yes.
So the stadium is open, all the demolitions have all occurred, and not a single affordable unit exists.
Well, we have those. We have that experience here in Oregon. But go ahead, on.
But I mean, that's why you need, you know, the community groups need to know how to work with lawyers.
Right.
And I know a lot of people listening are saying, "What's this guy talking about? He's just lost all his credibility. I hate lawyers." But I'm just saying that read the chapter because really, that was an example where better lawyers or more active involvement of lawyers would have made sure that there was something in the agreement that said, hey, if you don't build by this, if the stadium, when it opens, there better be X number of housing units. If they're not built on site, you better pay some money.
That's right. Right. And, you know, a lot of times community groups are at a disadvantage when they are trying to negotiate these good faith agreements because they don't have all the data that either the government entity or the other developer has. Right. And so it's all about making it appear that they are being fair and really being responsive to the community. I wanted to mention that the ACLU or the National Lawyers Guild, law schools are great places to really tap into young lawyers and lawyers/activists. I tell you, we could not get half the stuff done in Oregon that we get done if it wasn't for the NLG and their ability to work with local grassroots community organizations. And the same is true for the law schools. We're fortunate to have two really great law schools in the Portland metro area. And that also helps us to have people who both understand the law, but also have that grassroots community focus.
Well, we're the beneficiary here of my own organization. One of our lawyers is a graduate of Lewis and Clark.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, law school, and he's doing work in here. And but, you know, one thing I want to get back to when I was getting involved with what I was saying about Keystone and Occupy and how the new media works is that, you know, there was a period of time, for a long time, where the corporate owners had a monopoly in what was out there. But really, now we can make our own media, and I think one of the things I'm happy about doing this new book is that to really lay out how you can connect new media to traditional social organizing. Traditional organizing combined with new media is really the combination that creates what we need, where we need to go. It can't just be, okay, I'm not going to be out in the streets, I'm not going to organize, I'm just going to send out Facebook and Twitter and tweet stuff.
Right.
And you can't just do the organizing because people won't hear about it. But by combining the two, you get the power that we've seen. That's how they got 150 cities in the Keystone. That's how the immigrant rights groups are getting all these people all around the country involved. That's how the Dreamers are doing it. That's how it's happening, the combination of traditional organizing strategies with new media. It's really something that can really help progressive causes and I think gives us a greater chance of succeeding than in the past, quite frankly.
I absolutely agree with that. We certainly have to make sure that we are tapping into all the sources possible to get information out. We're going to take a very quick break to go back and raise money, and then we'll be back to round out the program. Thank you so much, Randy. And we look like we are doing well, but we still need you to call. Need you to call us at 877-500-5266 because guess what? This is your community radio station, and we want you to be part of our family. We want you to be part of making sure that KBOO continues to bring you the kind of programming that you have come to expect. Isn't that right?
That's right. Please do call us at 877-500-5266. Join Scott from Portland. We want to thank you, Scott. He's
thank
a
you,
renewing
Scott.
Member. Adrian from Vancouver, a brand new member. Woo! We love that. Yay, yay. Jennifer from Beaverton, also a renewing member. Thank you so much, Jennifer. We also had a business call in. You know, if you have a business or a group or an organization, you can have an organizational membership. So we had August West from Portland call in, renewing their membership. Thank you all. The phones really have been busy. We need them to be busier to be able to make our $1,000 goal. We're on the way towards it, but we are not there. We also have some small businesses to thank, but first I want to let you know once again, that book, I believe there may be one left of Randy Shaw's book. So if you do want to get that, please call right now at 877-500-5266.
Or you're going to miss out. You're going to have to be forced to go get it the old-fashioned way.
And without a KBOO membership attached to it.
That's... And without having your dollars make the huge difference they do.
Yes.
Yes, I think we also have, is that Jennifer in Beaverton?
Yes, I did.
Jennifer in Beaverton. Okay, well, okay, I'll say it again. Jennifer in Beaverton renewed her membership. You know, there are about 40,000 people listening in any given week who are not putting in, who are not contributing to the upkeep and the maintenance and the production of this station's physical infrastructure and the production of the signal.
We can now, use every one of you.
I am not here to kind of to instill guilt. No, I know you're already feeling it. You don't need me to add to it. What I'm here to do is to give you the opportunity to relieve yourself of that guilt. Discharge that obligation and call 877-500-5266. Given just, you know, the law of averages and kind of the demographic makeup of Northwest Oregon, I know a lot of you you passive listeners. I know you, dear listener, you non-contributing listener, probably Catholic.
You're feeling
that institutionally instilled guilt that you have not done your part.
Discharge that.
Get rid of it. Call 877-500-5266. Let Brother Confessor Jimmy take your good confession that KBOO is the progressive voice for the Portland Metro and beyond. We are streaming all over the world at KBOO.fm. We can afford to do that because your friends and neighbors have taken up the challenge to support community-centered, community-sponsored electronic media. 877-500-5266. I want to tell you about some more of your friends and neighbors. Pine State Biscuits at 3640 Southeast Belmont. Bamboo Grove Hawaiian Grill at 0515 Southwest Carolina Street. And B-Saws at 2301 Northwest Xavier. These are your friends and neighbors who got involved in a way that made sense for them. They do food, and they are feeding the volunteers who are waiting to take your call at 877-500-5266. Thank you, Pine State Biscuits. Thank you, Bamboo Grove Hawaiian Grill. And thank you, B-Saws.
I just wanted to get in there. If you are a pagan and you feel guilt, it's okay to become a member of KBOO.
Oh, sure.
And
I was giving a shout out to my people.
A deist. We have many. We have people from all different kinds of religious persuasions who feel guilty when they don't become a member of KBOO. And we want to. We do want to help you get over that guilt. It's easy to do. 877-500-5266. If you're one of those, though, that isn't motivated by guilt, in fact, you just hate guilt and you feel bad when you have it, so you want to do this because you love something, then do it because you love KBOO. I do it because I love KBOO. I really do. I so appreciate all of the hundreds of volunteers who come in here and bring us the radio that they do. You know, everybody on air right now is a volunteer. That's the way it usually is here at KBOO, and we were lucky enough to get trained right here at KBOO for for free.
Yes.
But that comes from you guys train all these reporters, many of whom go on to work in other stations, but who stay loyal to KBOO with their donations. You get to help us do that, becoming a member. It's 877-500-5266. Now, we had a huge goal for this hour, and we still have quite a bit of it to go, even though there's been many of you calling in. So many hands do make light work, and a $5 a month membership is a great level to go. But if you could do a $500 donation right now, you would really make a difference to keeping us on goal as we're in the middle of this membership drive. The number to call, once again, wherever you are in the nation or just out and about in the valley or here in Inner Portland, it's 877-500-5266. Let's hear all the phones ring. They've been having a good time working back here. They like to stay busy. 877-500-5266.
I want to say a little something about our fundraising goal. The goal, we do want to meet the goal, that there's more to it than just meeting the goal. The goal is what we need. It's what KBOO needs. It's the necessary condition to continue to bring you shows like Voices from the Edge, to continue to bring on guests like Randy Shaw. You know, Randy, we have to call Randy on our own dime. Well, on your dime. You are the source for that dime. 877-500-5266. And speaking of Randy Shaw,
we're headed back.
Joanne?
Excellent. Thank you so much. It is such a pleasure to be part of this KBOO family. So Randy Shaw, we have about 5 minutes left, and it looks like we have a caller. So we'll take the caller, and I'll give you the last word. Hello, Adrian. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Hi, Joanne. Hi, Randy. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to ask, I'm working in Washington State on Initiative 522 to help get GMOs labeled.
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming up on the vote in a few days, and we've been working really hard doing some networking and bannering activities, film screenings. We put together a kids' march, but we've been so bombarded with negative press, especially from TV commercials. So I wanted to see what, Randy, you had to say about your favorite or what you think are the most effective organizing techniques.
Well, I think the first thing is if you do person-to-person contact, including either through phoning or direct contact door-to-door, that's the most effective way to defeat television. I mean, because if people have been talked to, if people don't know anything but what they've been talked about on the ad on the television, then they're going to go with the ad. But if they've been talked to and you've inured them to that, you know, there's just a big GMO victory in Kauai, Hawaii, like at 3 a.m. this morning.
Wow.
They were fighting for a long time in Kauai, won a big victory. And I think we had a campaign in California, an initiative which was defeated by unbelievable levels of spending. And I think the thing about the GMO issue, for a lot of people, it's a new issue. They don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people don't know what's GMO, what are we talking about? What does genetically modified mean? It's one of those issues that often you don't win the first time because people have to learn about it.
Right.
So if you don't win this first time, go right back to it because it's one of those issues that the support builds. The people on your side are always going to be on your side. But it's easy to defeat something with those because people don't know what those three letters mean. And that's the challenge that campaign faces. But it's one, and I talk in the book, the biggest mistake progressives made around initiatives, if they lose the first time, they don't go back.
Mm-hmm.
Conservatives come back over and over and over. We've had like four different anti-abortion measures here. We've had these anti-union things that keep coming back, and they hope eventually they'll win. If you don't win on this GMO thing tomorrow, go back, because the numbers are going to build as more and more people learn. It is hard the very first time go around, because, you know, what does it mean, genetically modified? What does that mean? And the other side's lying so heavily about what it means, and they're saying it's going to create, that cost jobs and just, you know, the usual stuff. So that's the main message. But grassroots door, when people hear the truth on this issue, they go with you.
Well, Randy,
it's not like when they hear the truth, they don't go with you. They do go with you.
Randy, I'm going to have to call that a wrap We are out of time. Amazing.
Well, thank you. And okay, well, look, I just hope everyone listening really supports KBOO, because that's one of the key, you know, structures for building a progressive movement in this country.
Well, thank you so much, Randy Shaw. And if you were not fortunate enough to get Randy's book today, The Activist Handbook, you need to get it, because it's a good one. I am Joanne Hardesty. This has been Voices from the Edge. See you next week, same time, same place, same station. Have a great day.
Conversation with Dmitry Orlov.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. You don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that bitter is cold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
And good morning, 9 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Happy Thursday morning and happy pledge drive for you KBOO listeners. It is a Thursday, and coming up in a half hour on Fight the Empire, host Per Fogering interviews Dmitry Orlov about his latest book, The Five Stages of Collapse. At 10, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, two major pro-immigrants rights bills are signed by the governor of California. We'll hear about what comes next. And Culture Clash founder Richard Montoya talks about the recent passing of his father, Joe Montoya, internationally known poet, artist, and cutting-edge revolutionary in the Chicano movement. And at 11, hear a two-part Between the Covers show. First, Gene Bradley interviews mystery writer Craig Johnson about his new Sheriff Longmire novella, Spirit of Steamboat. And in the second half of the show, Lisa Loving interviews writer Jesmyn Ward about her new memoir, Men We Reaped. Ward writes about growing up in poverty with a family struggling to stay together and survive in the rural South. That's all coming up this morning. But first, it is News You're Not Supposed to Know with Teresa Mitchell. Press Watch is next on KBOO.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.